The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour, John Adams from Knoxville on the resurgent Tennessee Vols. Who thought we would be saying that in the middle of October? Welcome back to the program. Bama Nick is next.
Paul Feinbaum, you're going to give me more than 20 seconds today?
It depends on whether you earn it.
I want to respond to iMonkey's call I just heard on the damn show. That idiot.
You got to all the time you need.
I have refrained over the last 2 or 3 months calling your show and not ranting and raving, going crazy.
Okay.
Like I have for 9 years, I got banned off the show 2 or 3 times. But that eye man, that guy's an idiot. He reminds me of Darryl from Columbus or somebody that loves to see Alabama. And when his own team gets beat, like you said, by 25, 24, in their own home stadium. It just grates me, Paul. It grates me. My nerves are shot listening to him.
Well, why don't you admit it, Bama Nick? You can't handle losing because you're an Alabama fan and you have a superiority complex. And when I-Man takes you down a few notches, you just go crazy.
I don't mind I-Man calling in and ranting and raving about Alabama getting beat. But he don't ever mention Auburn getting their ass beat,
Bama Nick, why do you care whether he mentions Auburn or not?
Because I'm from Alabama, Paul. You know that. Alabama and Auburn hate each other anyway.
I got to tell by your first name, Bama. I mean, that wasn't hard to figure out. I mean, I'm not a bright guy, but I can figure that way. I mean, but seriously, when a guy calls in and his name is Bama Nick, I mean, is it hard for you, Randy, to conclude that he's going to say he's a Bama fan?
No, but why is he so obsessed with Alabama getting beat instead of worrying about his own team winning?
Because he doesn't care about his own team, maybe. He wants to see if he can irritate you Bama fans.
Well, you're probably right, Paul, but he needs to start worrying about Auburn's situation.
What situation is that? They just they're 6 games into a new coach.
Yeah, and what's their record?
4-2.
There you go. And what's their record going to be after Saturday?
I don't know. I'm not Nostradamus. I mean, Nick, what are you?
They're going to get beat by a bomb.
Okay. What about you guys? You going to win this weekend?
Yeah, we're going to beat the hell out of Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you just tell our man he needs to worry about his own team than worry about Alabama football.
Nick, would you like to talk to him? Because he's calling in right now.
Yeah, put his ass on there. I'm tired of him.
Okay. I thought we had him on the line there. Okay, give us one more second. This takes a little bit. We've got to wait for the I-Man to get the operator in Montgomery to get him a free call. Well, apparently he's not calling in, so we're going to have to dispense with that idea.
Well, that's fine, Mom. But anytime, that's another thing. What happened to the phone fuse that you used to have on this show?
I thought we were going to have one, but I-Man backed out.
Well, that's good because he knows I'll put his ass in the damn
Hold on. I think he's calling again. Give us time.
What time do you get on there?
Okay, hold on just a second. Let's make sure we do. Okay, I-Man is on the phone with Nick.
You know what, Paul? Give Bama Nick a stick. I hate coming into this and him being unarmed. I mean, hey, Bama Nick, you better call her and tell somebody. I'm on the phone with I-Man. I'm on the phone with I-Man and Marvin. Y'all call the friends and neighbors. Call the friends and neighbors because I got to tell him a thing or two. I got to give him a piece of my mind. You can't give me a piece of nothing, Bama Nick. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you're thinking. I don't care if you think I never talk about my thing because you know why I make a phone call?
You know why you don't talk about your friends?
Because I can do it. I can do anything I want.
They always have. And you know it. That's why you have another
anything
to say.
I want
you
to.
You don't have nothing to
no
say.
Way. You need
you're like
a stick to keep up with us.
You're like Jeff from Ohio, and you're like Pearl from Mississippi.
Well, I think those are compliments coming from you.
Y'all ain't worth a damn, man. You. Oh, it'll never be nothing. Never be nothing. It don't matter how
it
many coaches they
matter.
Are.
It doesn't matter, Nicholas. It
does
doesn't
matter.
Matter.
You're from Montgomery,
matter.
Alabama, right?
It only matters to you. And you know what? I'm living rent-free in your damn empty head. Rent-free. I've got a living room, a great room, two baths, three bedrooms, and a parking garage.
You ain't got nothing.
I'm living
I got a house with four bedrooms, three bathrooms.
Okay, one at a time.
What do you got? Nothing.
Bama Nick, the floor is yours. I want you to respond to I-Man.
What can I respond to some moron that's talking crap about what he owns? Hell, I got a four-bedroom, three-bath house with 2 acres of land over here. But, what's he talking about? What he owns, his house and all that crap. That ain't got
no
football.
See, Paul, I mean, you're going to have to interpret. I told him I was living rent-free in his head, and I had all that space in his head.
I mean, you have to admit, he does have a four-bedroom.
I'm
bedroom,
an idiot, Paul. What are you guys been thinking of
three-bath house?
Paul.
On 2 acres.
You know, Paul... You know, I love it when guys like Bamernick come in all uneducated. Hey, mama, watch me. That is a compliment.
Can I jump in here for a second? How come?
Absolutely.
How come Bamernick's living better than I am? I mean,
you know why, Paul?
And he's got twice the house I have and three times the property, the land.
I tell you why he's living free, because he's hollering, Mama, you come in here and watch me. I'm on TV. I'm drinking like hell, but I'm on TV.
Let me tell you something, I monkey. My mother passed away 5 years ago. I ain't never had to ask my mother for nothing. I earned everything I got. I served my country 14 years in the military. What did you do? You ever been in the military? You ever served your country?
Hold on a second. You served 14 years in the military?
Yes, sir. I told you that, Paul, 5 years ago. I'm a Navy veteran and a Seabees.
So I
don't want to hear none of this crap about our man. And my mother died 5 years ago.
Service,
well,
but
maybe,
I'm still free American.
Maybe, I-Man, I've never asked you this, but did you serve the country?
I was born in the Navy. My dad
no,
was
you wasn't. You ain't never been in the military in your life, I-Man.
I certainly have not. You know why? I didn't have to. I did not have
yes.
to. And you know what? I'm as free American
America.
As you are. Listen, Nick,
you
Nick, calm down, calm
Jacker.
Down. I'm as free
country.
An American as you are. And what you did with
yeah.
your life
you
and what I did with my life, there's no consequence to either one of us.
Allow the Navy veteran to speak, please. He was a CB.
CB.
No, I was in the Navy for 12 years, Paul. I went in the CBs for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
When I got out of the Navy.
Well, Paul, can I say something to that?
Well, I by the way, I was not in the Navy, but my nephew graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy. Does that mean anything?
I know that, Paul, and I know
your
relatives
with
the military.
You're just going to ramble on? I mean, you know, I'm a free American. I got family all over the world.
I'm trying to
find
my way
all
in this conversation
world.
For one reason. I want to get in this conversation for one reason. So we're going to end it. We're coming right back. John Adams, another great American, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you with us here as the final hour has dawned. We have spoken to our next guest many times over the last couple of years, and almost every call has been more depressing than the next. Not because I don't like our guests. It's just the subject matter has been awful. It's not that way today. John Adams joins us from the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, how are things on old Rocky Top?
Paul, I'm happy to report things are looking up. Tennessee has won back-to-back SEC games and scored 107 points in the process. Jeremy Pruitt's teams couldn't have scored 107 points in two games against cardboard cutouts. So fans are really excited about first-year coach Josh Heupel and what he's doing with the offense. Heupel is not a flashy personality, unlike the coach on the opposite side for Ole Miss Saturday. But he's got a really flashy offense, and it's doing great. He's overcome some serious obstacles, and I know he hasn't beaten great teams, but to put up those kind of points, I think is given Tennessee fans hope for the future and a chance to realize that this offense could potentially really be dynamic.
John, yeah, I mean, we realize the opponents are not great, but Kentucky played one of those opponents a couple weeks ago, and I think they scored 16 points. So it's not just, beating, empty tomato cans. I mean, these are SEC teams. How has he done it?
Well, pretty much as advertised. I mean, when he's an offensive coordinator at Missouri, when he was a head coach at Central Florida, very prolific offenses that can be hard to deal with because of the up-tempo element. I mean, he and Ole Miss, I think, have the two. They run plays about as fast as any teams in the country. So it's similar to Lane Kiffin's team in that respect. But this is what he's always done, and I think it can level the playing field sometimes against more talented teams. What's so impressive to me is he's done this with a kind of a patchwork offensive line. And he's done it with who started out to be his backup quarterback, Hendon Hooker. And I think that was a mistake that he quickly rectified. Hooker didn't start the first two games, but he's clearly better than the starter, Joe Milton, who opened the season as number one. So he's made these adjustments. He made the adjustment in quarterback. And it doesn't seem to matter what happens, all the injuries to running backs and to offensive linemen, he finds a way to move the ball. And as you pointed out, Kentucky didn't move the ball that well against Missouri. Boston College, which has a pretty good offense, didn't move the ball that well against Tennessee. And I just think it's really – Tennessee hasn't had a coach in a long time. Might have to go all the way back to Doug Dickey. I'm really dating myself there. Most people won't know who Doug Dickey is. I know him as a Tennessee AD, but I wasn't here then, but I heard so many people tell me about what a great play caller he was and a great game manager. Well, Tennessee's won games and had great teams, but it wasn't as though you thought Tennessee was going to out-coach the other guys so much. But I think with Heupel, I think Tennessee fans feel confident that they can win the X's and O's battle if need be. And I think it's a real boost for Tennessee fans' morale.
Which brings us to Saturday night. And before we get to the game, Kiffin has been there countless times as an assistant. Does this feel different that he's coming in as a head coach?
Yeah, and you combine it with the other elements, Paul. I mean, Tennessee's on an ascent right now. It's getting ready to play its first SEC night game of the year. I expect one of the loudest and largest crowds Tennessee's had in quite a while, because really, Kiffin gets mixed reviews here. I mean, some people still blame him for leaving after 1 year in 2009 and taking the Southern California job. But others have come to respect him, and they know what a great job he did in that 1 year he was at Tennessee. Won seven games with a team that, you know, wasn't that talented. And so they're going to want to beat him in the worst way, and I'm sure Ole Miss will be booed heartily when it takes the field. But I think a number of Tennessee fans, I received emails from these people who said they would take Lane Kiffin back as a head coach now. So there's just a lot of emotion tied into this game for Tennessee fans, probably some for Lane Kiffin. I know he was here as an offensive coordinator at Alabama, but there wasn't much doubt how the game was going to go when he was offensive coordinator at Alabama. There's some doubt as to how this game could go.
Yeah, I mean, this game, I think before the season, you really couldn't have imagined it being this close from a line standpoint or even an expectation standpoint. John, let's talk about those expectations, because, I mean, it seemed to me that if Tennessee figured out a way to get to a bowl game, it was a good season. And by the way, it wasn't all that it wasn't like the biggest upset, because you talked about it one time when you were here this summer. The schedule was not that difficult, but after losing to Pittsburgh, it seemed like it could not happen.
Yeah, beating Missouri got Tennessee back on track. People forget now, particularly the way Missouri's defense is playing, Missouri was a favorite in that game. And Tennessee really, really gave it a beating. I think 6-6 might still be the most realistic number. Tennessee's getting ready to play four nationally ranked teams in succession. Granted, there's an open date in the middle of that. But I can't see Tennessee beating Alabama, Georgia, or beating Kentucky and Lexington. But I could see them beating Ole Miss, because it's just going to be a basketball, fast break type game. And those games can go any way, as you know.
John, considering the depths of despair that this program has been in, what has it been like there? This is, last week was at home, so I mean, this is the second. But Tennessee has played so many of these early games, which, you know, good or bad, it's still hard to create a dynamic atmosphere, is it not?
Oh, of course it is, Paula. It's hard to get pumped for a noon kickoff, especially when you're playing Tennessee Tech. So here you've just got everything you need. And a week or so ago, athletic director Danny White is trying to, in light of complaints by fans that the lines for beer were too long, he's got more vendors and more stands. So I think that could play into the noise level against Ole Miss Saturday night. But you know how it is at every venue just about in the SEC. You get a night game and you get a little more incentive, like a Lane Kiffin homecoming. You got two high-scoring teams. Matt Corral, one of the best quarterbacks in college football, maybe probably the best. There's just a lot of things to get excited about. And one of the things about this team that's so different from so many others at Tennessee in recent years, it really looks as though it's having fun. You know, you can pick up on that sometimes. I remember last year when Sam Pittman's first year at Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas had lost, 20 SEC games in a row? And all of a sudden it's looking competitive, and the players seem to be having a good time. You can pick up on that sometimes during games, which players are having more fun. And I think the fans have picked up on this. And so they go out there to the game now, and they kind of like what they're seeing. The players are playing hard. That hasn't been the case a lot in recent years, but it is now.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer at the high point
sure you do, Paul.
Of Tennessee, but I'm curious about something, because we're talking about a bowl game. I also remember conversation some time ago about the NCAA probe, that maybe Tennessee would say, you know, let's not take a bowl game this year and hope the NCAA would show some leniency. John, where are we on the NCAA?
Boy, that's a $1 million question. Who knows? The NCAA is not transparent. It's anything but. So, and I think that's really been hurtful to Tennessee's recruiting. Even just getting closure, albeit a not a happy ending, I think would lighten things up for Tennessee fans. It would remove a burden, but it's just kind of out there in the distance. I don't think fans are thinking about that now, and I don't think players are either. And I give Chancellor Donnie Plowman credit for not imposing a bowl ban for this year. The reason, I thought it could make a bowl because of that schedule, and I think it would give some incentive for the program and more optimism if it went to a postseason game. When you look at college football in postseason, and we know there are 1 million bowls out there. When you're not playing in the postseason with all those bowls out there, it seems like everybody else in the world is playing in a game, and you're just sitting there. I think it's a really bad feeling for the fan base and the players. So I thought she was wise not to self-impose a bowl ban and let it play out. I think Tennessee fans would be excited, even if they finished 6-6, if they were going to a bowl game, because they like this team and they like the way the season has gone so far.
What a different day in Knoxville. Well, John, thanks for it is fantastic. This weekend ought to be amazing, and we appreciate you coming on. I think we've talked to you a million times over the last 3 or 4 years. I don't remember a conversation where anything was ever upbeat. So this is quite a startling turnaround.
I haven't forgot your line, Simon and Garfunkel, line on "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend." One of your best lines off the cuff. Thanks, Paul. Enjoyed it.
John, what a pleasure. That's from The Sounds of Silence, by the way. We will be right back, and we'll get to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Interesting is we wrapped up with John Adams talking about Tennessee. Remember what, 4 years ago? When Tennessee had an opening, all the groomers, Tennessee felt like it had to hire John Gruden. Man, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Let's get back to the calls and check in with Sean in the ATL. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Paul, I was just on hold, and you had MC Hammer was on and Vanilla Ice, and they want to know when they're going to be on the show.
We had, who did we have on the Ice Cube one? Was it Ice Cube? A couple? Yeah, we had, before we came here, we had LL Cool J in the studio one day. So, yeah, we'll definitely have those guys on.
Well, I think Kansas is touring, or REO. I think some of those guys are still alive.
Well, we did talk to the front man for REO a couple of months ago. Backstreet Boys today. Kenny Chesney a few weeks ago. Luke Combs. We're open for business. If you can strum a guitar or belt out a song, you have a home here.
That's great, Paul. Your show's always entertaining. What I got a question for you, kind of on the coaching carousel. It seems a little early in the season, but USC opened it up, and of course, we're talking about LSU and others. You don't have to name names, but is there anybody else you think is on the hot seat? I can't think of anybody in the SEC.
No, I mean, you hear Texas Tech, couple of other play Virginia Tech, there's some conversations there. Scott Frost, seems like he always loses a game on the final play. I think we can take Harbaugh off the hot seat for the time being. Manny Diaz is probably in trouble at Miami, so I mean those are some of the bigger names.
Seems like it's more the next tier down. It's the AC, the office director, the coordinators.
Yeah,
that
but
take
if,
more
if,
heat
if,
now.
If what happens at LSU is that comes to fruition, you talk about SC and LSU. I don't think you can do, you can find too many higher profile jobs right now than those.
Is it a race then? Do they just, who signs, when you got to sign first to get the best candidate?
I think if you had to identify who are the hottest two candidates in the country overall, it's probably Mario Cristobal and James Franklin. And then you have the next group where, you know, Luke Fickell gets mentioned a lot. Whether, you know, he leaves Cincinnati is open for debate, but you know, I think that's where you start.
And then they got a backfill, and it rotates, doesn't it?
Right, exactly.
Well, thanks, Paul. Enjoy the call.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that stuff. I mean, we'll heat up. November is the month for watching tail numbers on private planes. Let's check in with Zach, who is in Louisville. Hello, Zach. Zach, you there?
Hey, Paul. How are you doing on this fine Tuesday?
Zach, we are doing great. Thank you.
So the question I have is, do you think Vanderbilt will continue to stay in the SEC if they keep this losing trend?
Yes, I mean Vanderbilt is a part of the SEC, and you know, I don't, you know, it's not like this is the first time Vanderbilt has had a bad football program.
Yeah.
I think the ultimate question in Vanderbilt is whether they have enough of a commitment to get better.
I agree. Can you answer any questions about ACC teams?
Sure. I'll try.
Do you think this is – sorry, we're having internet issues. Do you think this is the downfall of, like, Clemson's dynasty this year or just a hump in the – just a hump this year?
Zach,
for
I see
Clemson.
I see some serious warning signs, and – they've won two national championships. They've had the second best program in the country for the last 6 years. And, you know, they won't be in the playoff this year. And I think it's really incumbent upon Dabo Swinney to fix these problems quickly. I know the optimism is there. The recruiting is still good. But, you know, what effect does this season have on their future? I think they have a couple of coaching issues as well. And I doubt Dabo Swinney would find my comments to be that surprising. I think he needs to correct all those situations. He's a very good coach. Can he correct them is open for debate. Carl is up next. Hello, Carl.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Hello, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I got a question about Mississippi State game. Do you think it's going to be a trap game coming in, Alabama versus Mississippi State game, since they had a terrible game last week? And do you think the mindset is high, very high, when they go into the game Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think this game will be a problem for Alabama at all from that standpoint. Having watched Nick Saban over the years, he's usually worse after a big win than a bad loss. He knows how to get their attention. I think these play. We'll find out about the leadership on this team, and I think there's some serious question marks about that right now. And that's you heard Stinch talk about that about an hour ago. So, but I think it's a little bit dangerous in the sense that it's on the road, and Alabama has played miserably on the road this year. And State has momentum, which is, and that can be a. I would, you know. If this had been a noon game, it wouldn't have. You know, it wouldn't really concern me. But Davis Wade at night is a very scary place.
Oh yeah, and also, do you think that we'll make it to the SEC championship game? And do you think the between Georgia and Alabama would it be a close game?
Carl, right now I do think Alabama will get there, and I'm going to refrain too much from predicting that game at the moment because I really need to see what happens to Alabama the next 6 to 8 weeks, and I also want to know who the quarterback's going to be for Georgia. I think that's important. Thank you for the call. Jim is up next.
Well, I was out shopping, doing something that was making me happy, and then, of course, I come home and turn on the replay of, you know, about an hour ago, whenever it was, and you said, you know, it's funny about this guy, man. He just it makes his day to see Alabama lose, and he's sometimes miserable. No, no, Paul, he's all the time miserable. He's a miserable human being. He's a creature of hell, a creature that hates. He's a hater. I bet he goes to bed every night and just he can hardly sleep. He's so miserable. I bet he wakes up screaming some nights because he's so miserable. He's a horrible creature, creepy jerk, deranged idiot, and he's the worst guy that's ever been on your show. And maybe that's why you let him on, because there's nobody in the country that can claim a bigger moron hick scumbag than you've got with I-Man. That's what he is. You know it. I know it. I'll say it. I'll say it again and again. Maybe I'll do what he said. Maybe I'll call you every day and remind you, you got the biggest, most horrible, evil creature, deranged, redneck, psychopathic moron ever on any radio talk show. He's a scum, S-O, you know what? Everything you can say bad, that's what he is, Paul. That's what he is. Can you comment? You want to comment?
You really think he's evil? Psychopathic?
I really think everything I said, honestly, totally, 100%. I really need it. And you know me, I'm a straight shooter. I just sometimes wait. I waited to today to say this because he is the most creepy. He makes my skin crawl. But that's what he wants to do. That's his life goal, is to make somebody as miserable as he is, Paul. That's the that's the story of him. I mean, I know about guys. I ran around with some guys almost as miserable as he is, and I know what makes them tick, making other people unhappy. That's all his goal is, Paul. That's all he got. That's all he wants.
So you think he's the most miserable?
I said what I said, Paul. You don't have to repeat it. I meant everything I said.
Wow.
Everything I said. And you know it's true. I think you've got sense enough to know. I know most of the audience knows it's true. They've told me, ignore that moron when he says anything about straight jacket. Calls me, of all people, he's going to call somebody needing a straight jacket. There's people in Bryce that I've seen, nice, decent people that had little problems. So I've been out there visiting my friend, a friend that I had out there about 10 years ago. And there's nobody out there. They're nice people. They smile.
Oh, no, I've got friends who are institutionalized right now. It's
and you know for a fact, none of them equal his insanity. And he I don't know if he's dangerous or not, but he that guy could go off one day, and he is the biggest. Well, anyway, that's all I can say, Paul. I'm telling you the truth, and you know it.
Thank you.
And you know
much.
What I said about the huh?
No, what was that? Finish that thought.
Well, I was going to say, you know what I said about the mental hospitals? You can't find anybody in one of those hospitals more crazy than he is. Not one.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Bryce is a hospital.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I was just trying to explain to the audience. Bryce is a hospital in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, well, I didn't say Bryce. I didn't say any mental hospital. But I did say I went and visited somebody out there.
Right.
About 10 years ago. And you know what? Some of those sweet people, they'll shake your hand. They'll say, hey, how you doing? And you brighten their day when they're nice. Most of them are really nice people, Paul, just have a problem. This guy's got more than a problem. This guy is a hellish, evil monster. That's what he is. That's exactly what he is. I'm serious, Paul. That's exactly what he is. They could put that on his tombstone, the most hellish, evil monster that ever, ever walked the earth.
I mean, Jim, I'm not.
Paul, I didn't stutter. You know, I didn't stutter. I'm telling you, it is.
You're essentially comparing him to
the worst person that ever lived. If you want to say the guy in Germany, hey, I didn't say anything. Don't say what I didn't say anything
killer,
like that.
The son of Sam.
I didn't say
the
Paul.
Strangler,
I didn't say he's a maniac killer. I didn't say he was
Jack
a maniac killer. I just said he's as evil as any of them.
Hannibal Lecter.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Was that a real person?
What?
Oh. I mean, you put him in some very serious...
I said what I said. The guy is horrible, miserable, a creep, a no-good louse, a nut job, a bum, a thug.
A thug?
Let me ask you something, Paul. How many days could you even count them on 50 hands if you had them? How many days he's called and just taken a shot, not just at me, but everybody that he doesn't like, Alabama, whoever. How many times has he come with it?
I don't think he's ever had a call where he didn't take a shot at you.
Do you think it was earned? Let me ask you this. What did I do to him?
Absolutely not.
Wait a minute. Let me finish my damn sentence.
Okay.
Do you think I've ever said anything that earned or deserved what he said?
No, absolutely not.
I've never even bothered the guy except when he takes a shot at me every now and then, like now. But I'm getting it all out there where it needs to be out there, where people can know what I'm saying is a fact. That's exactly what it is, a fact. All right, I'm going to let you go, but I just had to tell you, and I feel great. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And by the way, Ted Bundy called me a minute ago and was a little bit upset. Jim did not mention his name in connection to I-Man. Squirrel is up next. How are you, Squirrel?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's been an explosive last hour of the show here. And first of all, I would like to say kudos to I-Man for having the courage to have a phone feud with a 9-year, 2-time band veteran like Bama Nick. I thought that showed a lot of courage, you know. And then to come on, and then Jim comes just lambasted him. He's worse than Hitler? Is that what Jim said?
I don't think he – I'm trying to remember whether he mentioned Hitler, Mussolini, Pol Pot.
And I was thinking serial killers, too. As soon as he was saying that, I was thinking, wait a minute. I was listening to some serial killers in my head, too, that I would put ahead of I-Man.
In the pantheon of serial killers, I mean, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, Jack the Ripper.
The dude in Oklahoma.
What was that? It wasn't the ID. What was that guy called out there? There was a Zodiac, yeah, and then there was one with like the IBK. Yeah, I can't remember the initials.
He was
DBK. But, I mean, I-Man in that group, that's quite a group picture, isn't it?
I-Man and I have had private conversations before where we debated who Jim disliked more, me or him, but I think that kind of pretty well settled it right there. But do you remember the time that Jim wished death on me, he wished the flu on either you or I-Man and stage 4 cancer on the other one? I can't remember who.
I think he wished stage 4 on me.
I think he wished stage 4 cancer on you. He wished I would just die by anything.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he wished I-Man would get the flu. I thought that was weird.
By the way, he was letting him off pretty easily with just the flu.
That was before
COVID.
Unless
it was the Spanish flu.
Well, you know, I'm Spanish, so I probably could handle that.
Hey, listen, could you do me a favor the next couple of weeks? I have a friend who... Is going through a tough time, and will you please not refrain from calling my friend a shrimp boat captain?
you got to admit, I said he was a one-hit wonder before they won the national
You really did. I mean,
remember that?
I'm sitting there defending Ogeron, going, I can't believe I've attached my. That was before the national championship, though, wasn't it?
I can't believe 6 months after I said it, you brought it up and said that you were personally offended by that. That still blows my mind.
Well. You know, it doesn't take much to personally offend me.
He'll be on Saban's rehab coaching list here, maybe next year. So, anyway, look, hey, thanks for taking my call. It's been a great show.
Thank you, Squirrel. We appreciate you ending it for us, and we are going to end it here before we upset any other serial killers out there who may be watching from death row. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.